And I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. Spirit in scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. O Lord, thou hast known me, thou hast searched me. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou dost beset me behind and before, and layest thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and travel to the othermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only the darkness cover me, and the light about me be as night, even the darkness is not dark to thee. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with thee. As you know, that is Howard Thurman's favorite psalm, the 139th. His teaching is nature and grace through and through. We might call it beautifully a natural grace. And so as we come together on this Lord's Day and celebrating a bright new accomplishment across our university, we welcome our gathered colleagues from university leadership and administrative guidance, and are grateful for a moment to pause amidst the scripture and the spirit we hear in scripture. Listen for a moment to the Gospel of John. The scripture will dazzle us if we allow it to. John presents Jesus in a very different light. This is Christ as God striding upon the earth. His feet barely touch the earth. Did you notice at the end of the reading, he doesn't need to know Peter's name. He already knows it. Thou art Peter, and I will call you Cephas. Did you notice mid-reading that the Baptists are among us? Now, these are not the Southern Baptists or the National Baptists or the General Baptists or the American Baptists or the Cumberland Baptists or the Free Will Baptists. These are the pre-Christian Baptists. And it may well have been that the evangelist himself came over, if you will, from those who had followed John to take up with the journey with Christ. Did you notice? You know, you need to listen, we always do, to the dog that doesn't bark. Did you notice what didn't happen here? Last Sunday, we had a beautiful sermon on the baptism of the Lord. You know, it's all set. There's John, there's the dove, there's the Spirit, but Jesus does not enter the water. There's no baptism of Christ in John. Jesus does not deign or stoop at this point. He loves religion, but in the Gospel of John, it's the gospel itself that ever trumps the church. Inheritance is important, but innovation is more important. We have inheritance, we have innovation, and it's right here in the first chapter. Spirit touches us in scripture. Likewise, Spirit touches us in tradition, and that very much is on our mind today. We think of the traditions of this lovely sanctuary and Franklin Littell coming in 1951, Howard Thurman, about whom more in a moment, in 1953, and Robert Hamill in 1965, and Robert Thornburg in 1978, and Robert Neville in 2003, and your current dean, your incumbent dean in 2006. These are our traditions. Alongside us are voices here. Some of them are our own, particularly that of Thurman saying, all through the losses, victories, and defeats of my life, there has been this trailing joy of beauty. He drew on, as he, you know, he met Gandhi, and he drew on Gandhi, who said, if God is going to come to the hungry, he must come first as bread, and saying also, I understand myself only and fully as part of the fullness of humanity. And Martin Luther King, whose Sunday this is and whose monument we note every day, every Lord's Day that we come to worship, he who wrote and taught and said that he believed that unarmed truth and unconditional love would have the last word in life, that we have our own traditions here that we're honoring. Just 2 years ago, here in the second pew on the pulpit side, there sat, in the tradition of Thurman and of King and of Elijah Cummings, you'll remember, some of you nodding, John Lewis was right here with us, not long ago and far away, but in the second pew, a part of our own tradition. So we recognize that our life together is a shared life, and we have an abundance in common. We could put it this way, that we all survive the birth canal and thereby carry a bit of survivor's guilt into life, all 7.5 billion of us. We all need bread and a name every day, not just bread, but one does not live by bread alone, but a name that will guide us, all 7.5 billion of us. We all grow and change and move out of our family of origin. That's part of what happens in college years, all 7.5 billion of us. We all age, and after the year 50, it's maintenance, all 7.5 billion of us. And we all shuffle off this mortal coil en route to that undiscovered country from whose born no traveler returns, all 7.5 billion of us. We are part of traditions that guide us, spirit in tradition. Likewise, spirit and reason, this year, for some reason, thinking about April 4th, 1968, the voice of Massachusetts' own Robert Francis Kennedy came to mind. Late that evening, he descended in the rain, the Indianapolis tarmac airport, greeted a throng that didn't really know the news. Just remember the snippets of what he said. It was a spirited reason like that of Thurman that he brought. I have some bad news for you tonight. Martin Luther King, who lived a life of love and justice, has been killed. For those of you who are angry and ready to respond, let me say to you, I also had a member of my family that was killed in a similar way. And then he quotes out of the blue Aeschylus, the Greek poet, saying, in our sleep, pain which does not forget falls drop by drop until in our despair and against our will comes wisdom in the awful grace of God. It was a moment of spirited reason as the rain was falling. The rain's still falling, and we need that spirit. The spirit of reason brought especially and fully to this pulpit and this chapel by Howard Thurman. Now, we're going to ask you to read or reread this winter Thurman's Jesus and the Disinherited. Read or reread Thurman's Search for Common Ground. Read or reread his autobiography with head and heart. But remember the phrases that carry forward here about a crown to grow into, about the unity of all things. This is the natural grace of plants and rocks and flora and fauna. Howard Thurman was 100 years ahead of his time, 50 years ago, and that puts him still 50 years ahead of us today, guiding, shaping. A word on the disinherited, which we heard earlier. It was also in this body, voluminous body of work, a voice of reasoned spirit guiding us together into an unforeseeable future. Spirit in scripture and tradition, spirit in reason, Spirit in experience and a playful moment of experience. Thurman loved humor and he loved the playful side of life. And I was thinking this summer, driving across Route 20, which extends through Massachusetts and actually across New York State and all the way to the West Coast, there was a moment, where do ideas come from? Maybe it was the leisure, maybe it was the drive, maybe it was the quiet, but all of a sudden into the mind came invading the following idea. You know, I've admired the work of Sherry Turkle across the river at MIT for a long time. Her books, Alone Together, Reclaiming Conversation. We should invite her into dialogue here. And there was an idea. Where did it come from? Now, we haven't done that yet, or more properly, I haven't done that yet, but it's an idea waiting. Whence ideas? Or more playfully still, whence imagination? Maybe some of you too have watched the debates of this political season. The other night, it may have been, it has happened to you too, that 1 Samuel 16:1 to 13 came to mind. Now, if you don't remember that passage, it's about a nation looking for a new leader. And along came a bit of playful imagination. You remember the Lord says, go to Bethlehem. I suppose Bethlehem could be a town southeast of Des Moines, Iowa, in our appended, updated version. And look through the people you find there. And so they went, they debated along the way, and they found Eliab, a nice Jewish fellow whose nickname we'll say for today is Bernie. And they found also Abinadab, an older fellow who today we'll say his nickname is Joe. And they found Shammah, and we'll say her nickname was Elizabeth. And then they said, don't you have anybody else? And they said, well, the Lord said, I have seven others. And we don't have their names in Scripture, so we can imagine their names. Maybe it was Buttigieg and Bloomberg and Harris and seven names together from this contemporary time. But you know, the Scripture goes on, doesn't it? And they weren't done hunting, and they said, don't you have anybody else? And they looked at him, and he said, well, not really. And he said, don't you have anybody who's maybe out in the field, tending, shepherding, not with us right now? And he said, well, there is that one other. That other you haven't seen very much of yet. His name is David, but we'll give him the nickname Duval in this Commonwealth of Massachusetts house. And they said, fetch him, bring him forward. We're not leaving until we see him, or at least see him on television. In other words, where does that kind of imagination come from? Good, bad, or indifferent? It comes from the spirit. And as my son, a basketball coach, would remind us all in that context, he coaches in the West Coast, he would say, Dad, it's not how you start that matters. It's how you finish. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Spirit today, in memory of Howard Thurman, in Scripture and in tradition, in reason and experience. Now you're going to ask, how do I come close to my own most self, to the presence of Jesus my Lord, or to the voice and spirit of Howard Thurman? Come with us this afternoon following worship to the Howard Thurman Center. That's one way. You can come close to Howard Thurman in Scripture, and in song, and in spirituals, and in hymnody. You can come close to Howard Thurman in community, and meaning, and belonging, and empowerment. You can come close to Howard Thurman in praise, and worship, and preaching, and religion. You can come close to Howard Thurman day by week, by month, right here, and the doors of the church are open to all. We'll give Thurman the last word, his natural grace. Think of him walking at night on his Daytona beach, beautiful and warm. The ocean and the night, he wrote, surrounded my little life with a reassurance that could not be affronted by any human behavior. The ocean at night gave me a sense of timelessness, of existing beyond the ebb and flow of circumstance. Death, I felt, would be a small thing in the sweep of that natural embrace. And I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. Amen.